ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria. I'm back with relationship counselor and psychotherapist Yael Melamed, who sees patients at her own clinic in San Francisco and lectures at Pierce Counseling Center on resentment and forgiveness. Welcome to the show, Yael.
Thanks, Dr. Daria. I'm so excited to be here.
We are too. So let's just jump into our first question. And that is, you know, why are relationships important in today's digital age? It's really changed how we have our relationships. And what physical value do human relationships provide for our health?
So relationships have always been important. We are wired for connection. And one of my favorite experiments is one by Harry Harlow, where he took monkeys. And he basically gave them a choice between having food. These were monkeys who were separated from their parents, their mother, at birth. And he gave them the option to either have food dispensed by some wires or to seek emotional contact with a rag doll that was soft but had no food. And the majority of them chose to seek emotional contact and get no food. So this is just kind of letting you know that relationships have, they've always been important. But in the digital age, they're even more important than ever. The social fabric is really changing because of technology and globalization, and families are more spread out, people move often, they work more, they're busier, they don't really get deeply rooted in communities, and it's also really easy to replace high-quality contact with just Facebook or social networks. And so relationships are now even more important than they were before because they're actually scarcer. It's harder to have a really good, high-quality relationship. And, you know, some stats on that are that today more than 30 million people live alone versus only 4 million in 1950. So we're living in a really lonely society. And, you know, you could probably imagine loneliness and isolation increase emotional and mental suffering, and that people who are lonely have higher diagnoses of psychological disorders. But there are also direct links to physical health.
Really?
You know, married men and women generally live longer than their single peers, and supportive relationships really influence our hearts and our immune systems. And in fact, it's shown that loneliness raises your blood pressure to the point that it doubles the risk of heart attack and stroke. And there's a lot of other studies that really show a serious and severe impact on our health.
So it's not just better health, but actually living longer from having these relationships.
Yeah, so it's better health, it's a higher quality of life, and also more longevity.
That's fantastic. That's fascinating information, especially that study about the monkeys, literally that they chose relationships over food. You know, you mentioned, you know, those are, I think you said those are infant monkeys. How important is it for children to get lots of human contact, and how does that affect their development?
So it is absolutely crucial. And, you know, we started to notice this through anecdotes before the science really developed to support it. But there's some recordings of a Spanish bishop who in 1760 wrote to his superiors in Rome. And he noted that children in foundling homes, which homes and institutions for orphan children, were sheltered and fed, but they regularly died of sadness. And over time, the neuroscience has developed to kind of corroborate this. And Daniel Siegel is one of the preeminent neuroscientists who really talks about how caregiving influences how a child's genes express themselves as a child grows. And the way the brain develops is actually, it's really shaped by the parent's more mature brain. And so, you know, our neurons transfer energy and information, and that happens between parents and child to actually create the neural structures of the child's brain. And what happens is that, you know, emotional engagement with another person directs the flow of energy and information processing within our own brain. So children's brains adapt significantly to the emotional communication they get from their caregivers. It's known as attachment, so the way that they're attached. And attachment history really influences emotional regulation, cognitive processes, and also social competence. So contact and relationships are absolutely crucial for children as they develop.
So for a parent who has a child at home, you know, what are some things you suggest to help them build that attachment?
So I guess the first thing I want to relieve parents and let them know that they need to be a good enough parent. You don't need to be a perfect parent. And there's actually a lot of theory on that, that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to have misattainments. It actually helps prepare the child for life. So that's just to relieve people. But what's really important is eye contact and touch. So as young as infancy, children assess threat and safety based on the parent or the caregiver's facial expression. And also mirroring, you know, when a baby coos and then the mom coos, it's a very automatic response that we have. But this mirroring actually sends the message to the child that they're worthy of this connection, and it really sets the stage for the development of self-esteem and self-worth. So that's really important. So this mirroring and contact, and also touch. So touch releases oxytocin, which is an amazing material that basically triggers dopamine, which is the feeling of elation, and also turns off threat and safe and harm. And so being able to touch your child will really help the child feel good, feel calm, and feel safe.
That's amazing that you can really truly affect how your child's brain is developing that way. I love it. It's great to know for parents, and great to know that we don't have to be perfect. You know, many people say you don't have time to balance these family relationships, much of what you're talking about, friends, work priorities. Are there any relationships you recommend prioritizing over others?
You know, that's actually a paradigm I don't really like to use. I don't like this idea of like work-life balance, because I actually don't think the work and life are separate. And so the way I think about it is a constant negotiation and dialogue between these different aspects of life. And I've actually been really influenced by a Nobel Prize-winning poet named David White, who wrote a book called The Three Marriages. And what he talks about is that in life, we really have three marriages. One is to ourself, so this relationship with ourself. One is to our work, and the other one is the more traditional marriage to another. And the idea that to neglect any of these is really to impoverish all of them, because they're not really separate commitments, but they're an expression of the way an individual belongs in the world. So the way I think about it isn't really, you know, yes, I get that people want kind of execution-oriented advice, but the way I really would recommend approaching it from the psychological perspective is actually to think about holding competing parts of ourselves together in an integrated way.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to try that. You're right. It's in trying to integrate them instead of prioritizing one over the other. You know, as you're doing that, as we're trying to increase our relationships and really strengthen those that are really important to us, how do you get enough FaceTime with people in today's, in our tech-driven world?
So I think that FaceTime with people, it should be a huge priority, and it's a huge priority for me, and it's for some of the things, the reasons that we've already discussed. The hug hello sends a surge of oxytocin when we're in each other's presence. We regulate each other's nervous systems, and this really increases the quality of relationships. And in all of the studies that I've mentioned earlier, it's not just that we're in relationships that affects the health and the emotional balance, but it's actually the high quality of relationships. And it's so easy to get lost today in just text messages and Facebook messages. And I think it's so important to value and prioritize just in person, and even a voicemail instead of a text. You know, the other day I actually had a friend ask me if I could please stop leaving her voicemails, because they took too long for her to listen to, and she requested that I send a text message instead. And I told her, you know, that's no problem, and I'm happy to accommodate your request. But on my end, if I ever don't have time to hear your voice and connect to you that way, then take me, because I never want to be that transactional, and I know how important this contact really is. And so I think, you know, what I do is look at my calendar. Oh, go ahead.
And you schedule the person. I know that's fantastic, Al. I really love it. We are truly wired for connection. Thank you so much for joining us on Share Care Radio. And listeners can find her at yaelmelamed.com, yaelmelamed.com. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.